Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, happy Thursday, everybody. We made it to another Thursday. I want to thank God for another day of being here, being able to deal with this ratchet cold in New York, everybody. I don't know about the rest of the world, but it was cold as all Alaskan and Arctic hell out here in New York for the past 2 days, and now it's a little better, but it's still cold. And if any of you don't know, winter is coming. So now we have to get ready to shed all of our stuff. No problem. Anyway, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say our shout-outs, first of all, to Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio of New York City. He is currently with i4radio.com. You can hear Barry spin his DJ magic on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is Grace New York with his Best of R&B events all over the town as the CEO of Track One Entertainment. Those of you that are singers trying to get a break out in the world besides our little showcase here, Track One Entertainment will be reinstating its 2014 version of the competition, So You Think You Can Sing. Barry Mason and Dolores Milligan, formerly of the Ladies of Sky, that wonderful group in the 80s that brought us the hit Call Me, will be the judges. And if you are interested in entering this competition, hit Barry up on, if you, those of you that know him on Facebook, you can hit him up on his Facebook inbox. You can contact here on the Edge Show at ontheedgeshow@outlook.com. Or you can go to track1entertain@gmail.com. That's track, the number one, the word entertain, all one word, @gmail.com. Okay, what you will be doing is letting him know what you want to do with your name and your phone number, and he will get back to you. Over to my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, Monster Miles, Deacon Zeddy Williams, and DJ Domerica, you three, four wonderful people that have been nothing but great as a team to me, to the Real World Black News and Discussions group and the Black Love and Conversations group over on Facebook. Thank you for your continuous support and input, your constant suggestions to all of our 15,235 listeners. Yes, folks, I said this, 15,235. Thank you for joining us. Lately, you've been lighting up the panelists, boards. The conversations have been getting deep and heavy, and I want to thank everybody all over the world that has been listening to us. I want to thank you all very much, because this show has been something that we have been trying to make a mission and connect everybody out there and give you a purpose of some sort with it. So I want to thank all of you for that. To PS37, Cynthia Jenkins School in Queens, New York, Springfield Gardens. Thank you to Beverly Mitchell, to the PTA over there, to Dory Robinson, to Ms. Pedicini, to Ms. Essex. You guys are just a few of the very hardworking people over there that help us cultivate our youth out here in Springfield Gardens and contribute to our Youth Day. I want to thank you all very much for all that you do and continue to do for this show. All right. Tonight we are going to be speaking on a subject from our parenting chronicles. And a little later on, before the show ends, we are going to be dealing with week two of our Writer's Showcase, the new All Hands on Deck segment, which we will be showcasing new and poetry from not just our team here, but from people all over New York and the world, hopefully the U.S., if our contest picks up enough, where we will be showcasing writing pieces from people all over the world, including students. So what I would like to do is I would like for all of you to bear with us, because I want to hear from you what you have to say. As a parent, do you think that a child 17 and under is entitled to exclusive privacy, especially privacy that denies you access to certain things? Now, understand what I said, from 17 and under. That is the question tonight. You know what we do? We do our breaks here where we go to our early break, and when we get back, I'm going to have this discussion started. So we are going to go out with Kelly Clarkson and Stronger, and I'll be back in 3.5 minutes. Don't go away.
You know the bed feels warmer sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best in me, think you've had the last. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. What steps even lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stronger. Doesn't mean I'm self-denied. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. All right, that was Kelly Clarkson with Stronger, and then you heard our sponsorship commercial. We are back on the table. Should 17 and under-year-old children be entitled to exclusive privacy? In my opinion, the answer is absolutely not. Now, 16 and 17-year-olds, I will give them this leeway. It is depending on their maturity level and their history of behavior. Have they been in trouble? Are they a person that has a tendency to follow into bad things? Have they been disrespectful? Have they been mature and responsible with certain things? And even then, there's still an understanding that when I ask you to open up your messages or do whatever, I expect no problems. Okay? 17 and under, by law, they are still minors in your eyes, in your home. You are accountable for the things that they do, even though as they get older, of course, the law puts a little more on them. 16 and 17-year-olds, especially 17-year-olds, they're closer to being of the legal age of majority. So, but absolutely not. Okay, there is no way that even with a teenager that has a job of their own, they are responsible for themselves, they are independent, they are emancipated by any means. They are still very capable to be susceptible to fall into bad situations where something should happen, then it's on you. You have to be accountable for running around for them, answering the law as to why you didn't know where your child was or why didn't you know what your child was doing. Why weren't you aware of the activities they were involved in? I have to be James Bond, the spy, with a 17 and 16-year-old. To a point, I think, only because that's when the peer pressures hit a little more, but I don't think you need to monitor them the way you would do a small child who actually doesn't know what they're doing but just will do. But what does any child need exclusive privacy for, with the exception of them taking a bath and their bodies are private? Okay, their bodies are private. They're not definitely supposed to be walking around under mom and dad's eye after a certain age. You shouldn't be bathing your 11-year-old. Okay, things to that effect, those type of things are considered private. You know, if they want to keep their underwear private, yes, indeed. But even then, depending on these young girls and guys nowadays trying to give in to the peer pressures of trying to be a little more grown than they are, you definitely don't want your 12-year-old shopping in the Victoria's Secret song aisle and not watching what they're doing. So I think everything has its place, but do they deserve to be with exclusive passwords and email accounts and all this stuff? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That is my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. So any of you that disagree, kindly call in. The number here is 347-327-9967. The panel is open. As long as we keep it strong and respectable, we are all good. Okay? So I'm going to bring in our co-host for this segment, Mr. Williams, in just a minute. The rest of you, ladies and gentlemen, today we will be speaking on this topic, and we will be interviewing one of our regular listeners / panelists, which is Mr. Rue Mason from formerly Flint, Michigan, currently in Texas, and he has a brand new blog, exciting and thought-provoking blog, which is just about topics like what we hear at the On the Edge Show like to tackle. We tackle the tough stuff, the community things, the on-the-edge talk about everything. And this man, you guys have heard him quite a bit. We will be interviewing him very soon, shortly in the broadcast, so he can tell you about, A, what he thinks about this situation, because he's definitely one of those children who had to benefit from a parent that didn't allow him privacy at certain things and certain areas in his life. And want to talk about how he came about wanting to write a blog, you know, and what the blog is about and what he intends to do with it. So that should be an interesting conversation tonight, along with what we feel about this topic. Let's bring in Deacon Williams this evening, and we will get this discussion continued.
Right.
Welcome, Deacon. Are you there? Welcome to the show, Deacon. Are you on? Okay. We continue. seen him in this office. Deacon will be in as soon as he gets his connection. It's okay. We're clearing that up for him. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen of the listening shit side of the world, let's, excuse me, let us talk. Your child is 15 years old. Now, I personally don't think that children under a certain age need to be having cell phones, or at least not, let me not say cell phones as much as I will say smartphones, okay? I've seen 11-year-old children that have iPhones and, you know, and super Androids and things of that effect, which I don't think at 11 years old or 10 years old for that matter, no child needs data. No child needs a phone. I'm not saying that they're not interested in it. I'm saying no child needs data. A phone that, you know, connects with the world. They don't have an exclusive office somewhere. So if you need, by all means, I am aware of the fact that nowadays kids need a phone to be reached. Their parents are in different areas of the world. Their schools are a little bit different. I understand that, but you don't need them to have a smartphone in order for you to have a phone that you can reach them on. Because a lot of the problems with these children is the fact that there's internet access to things, these undercover tunnels that, you know, communication tunnels these children are able to hook up with the worst of people with. And at 12 and 13 and 14, their minds are in the excitement of it, not the sense behind it. So if somebody says just the right thing, and they can brag and talk about what a great phone they have, well, then, you know what? There goes a problem right there. Okay? So we have that to talk about. Let's go on to another reason why 17-year-olds and 16 and under really don't need privacy. What a 16 and 15 and 13-year-old child want to do in the privacy of their own secrecy? Get involved with the things that are curious to them, such as sex, drugs, speaking about things and, you know, probably speaking in language that you don't approve of, hooking up and making plans that they feel if it's under a secret code somewhere, the parents won't know and they can get away with it, and then the next thing you know, you're getting a call that your child has been involved with drugs or a fight or a theft or an accident somewhere. And you had no clue that this was going on because they told you one thing while they were doing another. Yes, I know a lot of people are going to argue. There's going to be a lot of people arguing that you need to trust your children and that nowadays children are a lot more technologically advanced. That's the problem. That's the problem. There's a whole lot more of technology advancing their minds, but everybody's forgetting that no matter what the technology is and no matter what advanced gadgets they have, children still have a universal development process that they have to go through. Does it matter that maybe now they can say six-syllable words a little more quickly than we could in our day? No. It still doesn't matter. At 13, you still have life experiences you have to get before you could become comprehensive in certain things. It doesn't matter that it's now you're 13 with a technologically advanced era that you're living in. Oh, by the way, now you have more computers and less parents. It doesn't matter. Being smart and computer savvy doesn't make them more grown. That's what the problem is. And nowadays, everybody is depending on the fact that our children are smart enough to click a computer or a mouse at 2. That makes them, what, big decision makers by the time they're in preschool. They are still 13-year-old teenagers going through the hormonal shifts and the mood swings and the curiosity fights and the peer pressure. Now with less of a village and less of an option and more TV and more people telling them they're too fat, too skinny, too white, too black, too short-haired, too long-haired. Parents now, you know, having less to work with, more work to do, and less money to bring home. So that's what the whole focus is nowadays. What on earth would they need to be, once again, unsupervised with a password to a laptop that you bought them? To a cell phone that's way too advanced for their real needs, and to email accounts where strangers all over the world can hack in and hook them up to a place that you would forbid them to be to the best of your ability. Deacon, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, what's your take on the answer to today's question? I mean, do you believe that children 17 and under are entitled to exclusive privacy, such as passwords and door codes and all this, these other things on their emails and their cell phones and their computers and things to that effect?
Are they paying any bills?
No.
That's what my question is. Are they paying any bills? Are they putting any food on the table? You know, come on now. Who are the parents here? You said 17 and under.
Yes.
Come on. They don't like I said this before. They don't know their butts from a hole in the ground. You know. So what? Basically, 17 and under, you don't have any rights. First of all, and if you don't like the rules and regulations in my house, let the doorknob hit you. You know, if you feel like you can go out here in this world, in today's society, and make it on your own, feel free. Feel free. And I'm only repeating the words that was said to me by my mother. But I was the type of, and I was under 17 during that time because I thought I was such a smart aleck and knew everything. Then at 15, I figured, well, I'm gonna take her up on her word, not left. But believe me, that wasn't an easy thing. And just so that she wouldn't be able to tell me, I told you so. You thought you knew everything, you know. Even though I was catching it out there, I refused to go back home. But when I think back on it, I think the wise thing for me to have done back then was to go back home. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. God's in control of everything. But with today's children out in today's society, look, what do they do? The strongest thing that they have on them are their thumbs from working these video games, and they think they know everything, and they don't know a thing. Ask them a few questions about their ancestral history and see how much some of them can tell you. I'm not saying all of them now. Some of them may can tell you something. You know, so, hey, that's just my opinion. No, they don't have any rights. What, 17 and under? Please. I mean,
well,
what do they know?
Thinking,
they haven't even lived a quarter of their life.
I'm thinking, too, you know, even if we, let's take away the debate that a lot of the parents like to have nowadays. Some of the parents that I've spoken to that like to put all the trust of the advancement, quote unquote, or technology, or you know what they feel is now like supercharged maturity in today's generation. A lot of them, when you really listen to them, they're just pretty much tired because they have to go to work all the time. They're probably single parents. They want to convince themselves to believe in the safety of the kids. You know what I call mutated maturity. Okay,
right.
And I think what a lot of these parents are forgetting is the only thing that's matured about these children is the fact that their bodies are blowing up now with the steroids the farmers are putting in our meat and cheese and milk, and the fact that they can click, you know, electronic devices, which eventually they become addicted to and starts actually doing reverse damage or you know, reversing the benefits of technology with them, which means
right.
that they start getting hooked up to games and now sex ads and sexting and, you know, certain things and hooking up with drugs and trying to be older than what they are and all these other things. So eventually what's supposed to be designed to help us along is holding us back. And a lot of the parents that I talk to nowadays are, it's not the way we used to be. These children understand a whole lot more. Yes, especially how to send a text right in front of you, making you believe they're listening to what you're saying.
Right.
So a man in China was about to head over on a boat and pick your daughter up for a prostitution ring.
Right.
And that's just the thing. People have to tend to remember that no matter, it does not matter how technologically advanced or savvy the children are nowadays, 12 is still 12, 13 is still 13. Just the fact that the only difference between 13 in our time and 13 now is that we didn't have a bunch of extra things to get us in more trouble.
Correct.
or there's bigger trouble that we have to try to use our limited brains, our limited experience brain, in trying to get out of. There weren't, you know, a constant rash of children growing up to get into relationships and sexuality or disorders and fights, or prostitution rings weren't happening at 11 and 13 on such a wide global scale.
Right. It's
That's crazy.
You have to be very careful in today, because you have so many predators out there with this new technology and everything. My granddaughter was raped by somebody that she had contacted over her cell phone and on her PC. And because her parents, I'm put it strictly with her mother, because the dad is like a spineless worm. She wasn't paying attention to what she was doing and aware about what she was doing on her cell phone and on her PC, because she's busy doing her thing. And then this allowed this to happen. When you don't pay attention to your children, you got to take time. Make them put those computers and them cell phones away sometimes and sit down for about 2 to 3 hours with your child and find out what's going on with them. I mean, come on. These all children are gifts from God. And if you don't pay attention to them and help guide them, they're liable to stray anywhere. And anybody could put anything into their heads that they want to. And then by the time you find out what it's all about, it's too late.
Indeed. That's absolutely true. And the thing is, like, in my house, the idea is I let them think that they have control. I let them think
right.
that they're doing X, Y, Z. What I have is what I call random drive-by week, meaning I get up and I'll just say, hand me your phone and open up your laptop.
Yeah.
You know, and if they didn't have time to think they can schedule my drive-by, they have cleaned themselves up as quickly as possible, forgetting the fact that long before, or not knowing the fact, that long before they got to do cleanup, I've already been snapshotting things that they wrote on Facebook that they know they're not allowed to do. And I take the screenshot. Ladies and gentlemen who don't know how to catch your kids in action, you go right on their Facebook page, go click on the page of something you saw that you're going to discuss, click control plus print screen, and you will take the actual shot of the page itself. Go into Microsoft Word, open up a new document, click paste, and it will come up, save your document so you can show your kids, this is what you wrote, and this is what we discussed. So shut down your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think they're slicker than you, and they don't seem to understand that when you have to figure out more things by using your own brain and real strategic thinking, you're going to beat out anybody who's got a quick app in their phone that did it for them.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the problem. And nowadays, parents, beside the fact, and I know a lot of people are going to keep on attributing these two factors. I see you, caller. I'm going to be right there with you. A lot of these parents, a lot of people who are trying to put their explanation on certain things, keep on saying younger parents, single parents. It's not just that anymore.
No.
It's the fact that parents nowadays think that children's technology savvy, okay, makes them more grown than what they really are. And they're not grown. They're just more savvy with gadgets.
Excuse me.
They're still 13-year-old teenagers. They're still 17-year-old wet behind the ear, trying to be grown because they're just a year away from being legal.
Yeah.
Which really, 18-year-olds are not even really grown people in the mind. All they are teenagers that no longer are required to come home and get grounded. Meaning, if you ground them and they say, I'm not doing nothing, I'm 18, and you say, well, get the hell out of my house, you and both are not accountable to each other. Meaning, if he wants to disappear and try to go, well, she said, get out of my hand. If you get worried and call the police can't tell you nothing, and you're not liable for anything. But all they are really is just oversized teens that's like, wait a minute, now I can go to parties if she can't tell me nothing because I'm 18 now.
Mm-hmm.
18 doesn't make you smart, strategic, responsible, accountable. It's just
you're
an
18.
Oversized kid.
Yeah, you're 18. You still wet behind the ears. You can't even piss in a pot straight. And don't even know how to throw it out of a living room window if you had to throw it out the window. So
they're so busy being happy
you don't,
that Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, like I said, you're 18, think you know everything. Don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of, but you think you're grown. Come on. And then they want to act like we were just brought into this world adults, like we were never kids before. You know? So, and we're not wise to a lot of these tricks that they try and pull. You know, come on. Been there, done that.
They think they're slicker than us. Let me bring in our other panelists for the evening, and we will be interviewing Lou Mason very shortly, and he's going to be giving, of course, his colorful spin on everything, as well as talking about his new blog, those of you that know about it, and those of you who don't, you know, he can introduce that to new listeners. All right, welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? This is Carlos Ellaby Jones again, or Stalo Jagger.
All right.
I'm
going to remember you. Hi, Stalo.
Hey,
how's it going?
All right. I'm really, really enjoying the topic tonight. And, you know, being that I deal with kids every day, and, you know, I got a class of over 20 kids that are just out of control half the time. And the other half of the time, I'm trying to, you know, teach them some things that's going to build their characters. I see these things all day, every single day. I mean, the amount of 9-year-old girls twerking and standing on handstands, popping their butts and doing this and doing that, and you know, it's really ridiculous. And kids have way too much privacy now. And in addition to that, hold on, could you hold for 1 second with my phone? Yeah, in addition to that, that's a lot of the problem, I think, you know, with a lot of the kids that are going over the edge, if you know what I mean, like going on the edge, mm-hmm. and talking about suicide attempts, you know, troop pathologies they carry for the rest of their life, stuff like that. A lot of times it's directly because the parents gave them way too much privacy and way too much isolation. Because at the end of the day, you know, the kids themselves have power structures that they deal with every day. You know, who's popular, who's this, who's the best, who's that, who's not, who the victims, you know. And if we have no insight on that, we cannot help these children at all, you know.
That's right.
We can't do anything. We can't do anything for them. And I'm just to share something. You know, I'm in Washington, D.C., born and raised in Washington, D.C. I mean, I can remember years and years ago, I was like 13, maybe 12, 13 years old. Now, I actually didn't have parents growing up, but I remember this one random day. I had already decided in my head, and I had already stolen a gun, carried the gun every day, all because there was one person threatening to rob me where I was, you know, at my school. Mm-hmm. Now, no one knew about it. I was prepared to do whatever I had to do with that gun. I was prepared to do whatever it took, you know, and I knew, even knowing that it could go really, really bad, that didn't even cross my mind, because at the end of the day, it's a 13-year-old mind. They're thinking about all this.
Right.
Now, what saved me from that particular situation was that one day, I don't know why, but my aunt, you know, actually visited me. And when she visited me and I went to the bathroom, she went through every pocket I had, every drawer I had, everything. Went through the whole everything. And she found that gun. And I was in trouble, of course, and this and that. And I eventually had to tell what happened, this, that, and the other. But in reality, for some random reason, she had to search my room and found my gun. And stopped me and got me in trouble and this and that and this and that and this and that. I'd have shot that man and ruined my entire life, and I wouldn't be here today.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's very deep. I mean, we deal with these kids are dealing with these situations every day.
Right.
All day, to varying degrees. You know, and it's very serious. Like, kids are killing themselves. Kids are depressed. Okay? Kids are emotionally disturbed. Some of them are misdiagnosed, but some of them are really have issues. And if nobody wants to be in their business, it's going to be just their business until they snap.
Right.
So, indeed.
That's all I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Well,
but,
I
know,
appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Deacon.
You know, we are the ones that are fortunate to be blessed with children.
Mm-hmm.
They're like I've always said, man, these children are gifts from God. And a lot of these parents today, they try, instead of being a parent, they try and be their friend. You can't be a friend and a parent at the same time. That's trying to shake up and mix oil with water. It's not going to work. It's
right.
not going to work. That is not going to happen. Look, I'm not your friend. I'm your parent. So let's not get it twisted. What I say goes. You might not like it. I don't expect you to understand it, not, at least not right now. But it's for your benefit. You know, it's a lot of things my parents used to come at me with, and I thank them for that today because it was building character in me. Some of the butt kickings I got, and a lot of times I deserved them, helped build that character also. Now, back then and today, they probably would have called it child abuse, but, hey, a lot of, you know, but today they would call it child abuse, but it was basically discipline. There's a big difference between discipline and abuse. Those are two different, that's like trying to mix apples with oranges. You can't mix them both together. You know, hey, I don't know, man. We just, a lot of these parents need to sit down and go to a parenting classes because some of them really need it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And there is a difference between abuse and discipline. Abuse is when you're laying down, sleeping in your bed, and your father or your uncle or your mom or your dad is coming in to molest you for no damn reason, or beating you with bottles and saying that you look like somebody you have no control over, or beating you because they're mad at their life.
Right.
Or sending you out to go and prostitute yourself, or, you know, go out there and sell drugs, or be out in a room somewhere with bruises that show your back, your spine, and all your internal nerve endings and don't have a reason.
Or get beat up out of the bed while you're sleeping. Because you get beat out your bed because you're sleeping and the person that's beating you is your dad and they're pissed off because they're mad with the wife.
Right. You know, that too.
And that's crazy. That's crazy. You know, and I say that because that person was me. I got beat so bad to where I had welts even on the bottom of my feet.
Mm.
And I wasn't nothing but 7 years old. 7 years old because my father was pissed off that my mother hadn't got home from work yet. So he got pissed off because she wasn't at home at a certain time. So with me being the firstborn son, and everybody always called me the mama's boy,
ooh.
And he knew just how much she loved me. He beats me out of my bed while I'm in the bed asleep. My brothers and sisters jumping up, screaming and yelling because he's got me between a wall and the bed. And he's got one of those, you know, those old ironing cords with the cloth on it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And got me in between the wall and the bed. All I could do was just scream and yell, and he just, man.
Yeah, I knew somebody who used to rape his older daughter simply because, you know, he was mad that the wife, you know, wasn't around or had passed away and left him with kids. It was just a lot of stuff. You know, he would drink every day and see the mother and the daughter, you know, and then tell her to get the hell out of there, out and, you know, go do something with yourself. You know, he used to beat the mom too. So there's a lot of things that means abuse.
Yeah,
you know,
that's abuse,
It's not finding your you know, 12-year-old daughter having sex in the bed with, a 25-year-old man and then freaking out and beating her out of whatever and then talking about it later. That's not abuse.
Not at all.
You know, people need to understand what that is, what that means. However, none of that would happen if we were not being told by the government to stop doing X, Y, and Z, if we weren't being told by the government that our children have the permission to go get condoms, contraceptives, pregnancy tests, abortions without your consent. But if they're dying of asthma, we can't touch them until you sign permission slips. Maybe then we would be able to just be damn parents.
Right.
Maybe then. Maybe we have to stop having ignorant people be on Facebook pretending that they have more lives and wives and riches than they really do for the sake of images and really focus on what the hell's going on in their house. And focus on the fact that that 12-year-old is over there texting people in Japan when they live in Georgia with that smartphone they got at 11. Perhaps we would have less of these incidents.
Yes. That's why it's so important. It is so very important that, and especially during this time, that you have to spend time with your child. You know, find out what's going on with him. Sit down and have a conversation with him. Well, how was your day? Talk to me about it. I want to know. I'm interested. You know, let me know something. You know, if there's no way you're going to be able to find out what's going on with your child if they're just coming and going and you're just coming and going.
Right.
How is that? How is that? It's even like today's society. Remember when the family used to sit down and have a meal? You don't even see that no more today. That is weird to me.
Right.
That is so weird to me. I mean, if I prepare a meal, okay, y'all, we all in agreement that we sit down and we have a meal together and we have discussions at the dinner table. I want to know what your day has been like.
Yeah.
You know, and
make them drive by at the school too. Make sure that when you go, when you a day that you're off or have a half day, and the kids have a full day, pop up at their school. Go and ask the teacher for a report of what's going on. Ask the principal. Ask the roundabout staff aides that are there, and see what your child is doing.
Yeah.
Ask them to pull out an assignment and see what's going on.
Well, I remember my dad popped up. I remember my dad popped up to the school one day, and I was just having one of my days, and he popped up, and I turned around and looked in the doorway, and I was showing my behind, and he showed my behind because he pulled my pants off in front of the class and tore my behind up right there in front of the class.
Wow.
Jack?
I know.
Yeah.
I had an ex-mother called up.
I tell you what, after that, no more problems with me in school.
For real.
I was too embarrassed to even talk to a girl in school, man.
Oh, man. You know, your butt was out. That's crazy.
But it worked.
Yeah.
But, you know, another thing, it's funny you brought that stuff up because I did, I was talking to somebody recently about, you know, the importance of sitting down and eating at the table for families and stuff. And, you know, when I think about it, our grandparents' generation did a lot of things right, okay?
Correct.
And we do a lot of things wrong. And we continue on, and then, bringing it back to African-Americans, we continue to phase out little aspects of the customs and traditions. And the more we do that, the worse off we become. And the thing is, with the female I was talking to, she was actually saying that is it also? She had also brought up. Was it? She heard that it was customary for a wife to make a plate for the husband first, out of everybody, then the children, then eat herself, what have you. And she found that absurd. She found it, she found it to be a form of oppression. She found it to be a whole bunch of things, right? And I feel as though. Of anything, like a lot of those customs and traditions are just important because they create, it's like propaganda almost, you know what I mean? Like the kids, if they see that mom is going to make dad's plate first as soon as he gets in, he hasn't been there all day. She's dealt with the kids since they've been out of school.
I don't find anything wrong with that, actually, because it's an expression of love, and also, I was a stay-at-home mom for a while when I was with my children's father, and, you know, if I wasn't working, for me, that's a contribution of doing something, you know, that you can do since you're not bringing in the other half of the income. Now, that wasn't a problem for me. It was a family care. I'm doing the cooking as a stand. I'm taking care of the house. He's out working all day. When he comes home, he should get it first. You know, you don't know if he has the time to sit and have a meal that day or anything. I have no problem with that. Now, when it starts to be an order in the house from him, then it would be a problem.
Oh, that's out of control. See, and that should never be that way.
Right, that would be out of control.
Out of control.
If, If you come telling me when I come in, I'm the first one to eat, and I better have my place. Well, then you and me will be in the ring,
but
and you are the problem.
Niggas, I mean, those are ignorant guys, though, that think like
yeah.
that. But see, the way I see it is that when you have kids and you have a family, kids, okay, I think about the type of dynamics that go on in the house. Your kids play games. Kids try to put mom against dad and ask
right.
sisters. But when they come in and they know every day they're going to see a united front between mom and dad, with mom's
mm-hmm.
going, and then if I'm off of work that day and I cook, I'm going to bring her to play first as well. So at
Correct.
The end of the day, at the end of the day, it's like it's the united front that they see that makes them not try mom or dad, you know. Like,
that's right.
They won't try certain stuff because they know what it is. And see, some of those customs and traditions were for that reason, but we lost the fact that we lost that reason. We didn't realize that was the reason, so we phase it out because we think it's unimportant. But the kids
yeah.
are looking. The kids are affected by that. The whole time they're like, well, you know, they argue over who's going to eat first.
Uh-huh.
That's true. And I feel, well, I will say this, and then I got to go to a short break, and we're going to interview our guest for tonight, our guest for tonight. But one of the things that I would like to say was this. Somebody answered the pre-broadcast topic today, and they said, I don't know if we were talking about the topic or was it another post, I think, that Linda Miller put up there with regards to men washing dishes. And they said that it's Western civilization. Now, I've heard this a lot. Western civilization is what sort of made us change the way we once were raised or whatever the case is. My response is this. I don't care anymore to hear that, oh, well, I only knew that because my mother used to get beat by my dad or my father used to come in. When the hell do you grow up and take the responsibility of choosing what you want to be as a parent?
Right.
When are you going to start saying, I didn't like what I saw, maybe that was it? Even if that's all you know, did it feel good to you watching it? There comes
Ooh.
A point in time where you got to say, I'm no longer 14 watching my dad beat my mom or my mom, you know, taking hits from my father. What do you
yeah.
want to be? What kind of parent do you want to be? What kind of person are you? To hell with your history. Western civilization took our freedom on boats.
Right.
Western civilization causes racism we know exists today. What are you going to do with the space and time and resources that you're given? What are you going to tell your kids? I didn't raise you and I'm a drunk and I'm a deadbeat father because Western civilization took us away.
Right.
Grow the hell up and take some responsibility for what it is you need to do. I get it. There are things that make people go depressed. I smoked for some time because I got raped at 16. And there was nobody there to sit there and say, he was wrong and this is where you go. Nobody told me how to put him in jail properly. So he got out the next day because I didn't know I was supposed to be in an arraignment.
Mm. Ooh, you see what I'm saying? Wow.
Yeah.
So I'll just say that. That was just part of it. The details is in my last segment. But I'm just saying, that was me. And everybody who I believed or was friends with me, this guy was a soft-spoken sweetheart of the century. Nobody knew that that quiet dude was a person who used, you know, date rape drugs to get girls into his bed.
Psycho.
So these type of things happen. And I smoked for some time. You know what? And now I'm in my 40s, and I got sick and tired of waking up with no voice, no way to breathe, needing a cigarette nonstop. So I did a little better. Quit all the cigarettes altogether. I've been doing e-cigs for a while. I'll be off altogether. Don't even need that one. So that works for me. These are the things that you have to do for yourself.
Yes.
It's not the slavery book that turned you into an alcoholic, and that's the one thing I need to say. That was a choice you made.
Hallelujah. How did you make the other choice for listeners too? Because what led you to even think about it that way? Because a lot of people think the opposite. Now, me and you know the difference. But
between what?
The question is, what led you to realize that at some point, your circumstances did not have to dictate your behavior, and your behavior,
right.
your
I'm
going
to tell you what the answer to that is. I'm going to tell you what the answer to that is, Stalo, because you know what? Deacon and I spoke about it yesterday, and this comes up very often. And no matter what topic we're talking about, when it leads back to this, it's up to the person to be sick and tired of being sick and tired of whatever they're in. Trust me when I tell you. Some people really want a way to learn how to get out of it, or at least a way, just like a starting point. Some people are really so caught up in whatever it is they're in, they can't even see a beginning. All they see is the same circle. That was what my three-part segment on victimization was about. To stop the people who are looking in going, I would have never stayed in that situation. You don't know, so shut the hell up.
Yeah.
You don't know what people have tried to do. So don't be a speculative jerk. You want to know, ask a question.
Correct.
That's right. But the person that needs to do it is the person that got to do it for themselves. Their personal trigger has to get pushed. For me, it was the fact that I was just speaking about having gotten over something. Because of my smoking, because of the things that I have been doing for so long, I've never had lung cancer, thank the good Lord. It never went to my lungs. But people, let me explain this to you. For those of you that don't, I'm not a scare campaign by any means. But I'm going to tell you what scared the hell out of me. It didn't go to my lungs because your throat takes it. Your throat takes the hit. When it doesn't hit your lungs, your throat takes the hit. Now, I was fortunate enough, which I will say this now in the air because it's my testimony. Okay, I sat there for 3 to 4 to 5 years refusing to go to the doctor to get told that I had throat cancer, that I would need to be one of those people that was in those commercials. But the problem was that I let fear really make things worse for me. Turns out that when I got there, the doctor told me it was a simple thing as I do have polyps on my voice cord, that simple medicine, it has now already been beginning to clear up. For 5 years, I couldn't speak right, swallow, feel better. My neck was a little bit swollen. And all I kept thinking was, if I got cancer, I'm just going to die because I'm not getting my faith cut up. Until I looked at my kids and said, I'm the only thing they have right now. I have a show that 15,000 people are calling in to get something for, and I need to be here. And you know something? My belief in God told me that when I prayed and asked for him to guide me through whatever I was going to face, he let me know he needed me to still be here too. So as it stands right now, I don't have throat cancer, and I don't even have polyps. And I no longer smoke.
Amen.
Yeah.
So it's time for you all to stop blaming history, not saying that our history is not atrocious, it's not still going on to a point today, but let me explain this to you. If all you're going to do is keep sitting around and blaming your stagnation, or you not even trying to do something, on the fact that, well, they're never going to give us a chance anyway.
Yeah.
It's on you, but we can't get off topic. We still need to figure out how everybody feels about whether or not our minors deserve some privacy. Now, I have to take a sponsor break. When I get back, our guest interviewee for the evening is on the line, and I'm going to get his opinion to start off the second half of the panel. So everyone, please hang out with me, and thanks all of you for coming in. And by the way, there's another panelist I have to bring in on as well. So hang on just 1 second. I'll be back in just a minute.
All right.
The On The Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On The Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends. I'm your host, KD Barnett. For those of you that's just joining us, tonight's topic is, should children 17 and under be entitled to exclusive higher security privacy? That is the question. We have our guest interviewee this evening, our featured guest of the evening, is Mr. Lou Mason. You guys have been listening in. And those of you on the boards, you guys know this man very well. He's a smart mouth when he wants to be, but he has a lot of thoughts to say. He's funny. He's a very straight talker, and he has started a brand new exciting blog. It's just been out about a week now, and it's all about things like we tackle here with the same cutting-edge viewpoints on it. And it's Mr. Lou Mason. His blog is Lou from Flint 810. And I'm going to bring him in to talk about his thoughts on tonight's topic and his blog. And the two panelists that are on waiting, I'm going to bring you in shortly after, okay? Just give us a minute. Welcome to the show, Lou. You're on the air.
How you doing, Katie?
How are you? Welcome.
I'm fabulous. Good evening, panel. Good evening. How are you all?
All right, Lou.
All right, let me bring in the other two panelists so that they can have their questions and be on them on the air when they're ready, okay? Hang on just a second. Welcome, Corey, on the air.
Hey, you, Katie.
Hey, you're right. Hang on just a second. Welcome, Corey, you're on the air.
Good evening, Katie. This is Mark. How are you?
Hi, I'm Mark. What's up, stranger? All right. Lou, before I get into interviewing with you, let me ask these two guys what their thoughts on tonight's topic is, because I want to give your interview time to you, okay? So just give me a minute. Rod, what's your thought on tonight's topic, honey?
Hey, well, I heard we're getting liquor. Did I miss it?
Well, very funny. What I would like to know is what do you think about whether or not children under the age of 17 should have exclusive privacy, like laptops, passcodes, you know, things to that effect?
Well, I don't know if everyone would follow my view, but I would say up to 16, I should have a password to every laptop, phone, everything electronic they have. I should have access to everything. They don't have any privacy at all. I say very little privacy until they turn 16. Then you have that grown folk talk with them. It's like, okay, it's the next stage of life. Now you're entering adulthood. At least this is how I did my little one. You know, then say, okay, now we're going to give you some responsibility and see how you handle it. We're going to give you your own phone, you know, new rules, regulations, because you're becoming an adult now. We're not going to watch over you like we used to because you're a little kid.
I want to get
up
back to that.
Up until 16, so that's the cutoff, 16.
I'm going to come back to that after I get to Mark and then to Lou. Mark, what's your take on it, hon?
Well, I tend to agree with your last panelist. You know, I think after age 16, you can give them a little bit of slack and give them a little more freedom and more options. But up until that age, I agree. They really don't have any privacy. Their business is your business, and it's going to stay that way until they become older. You know, the last one in our house now is 12 years old, and he likes to think he's got privacy, and of course they're going to act like it's a done deal, and we always have to break it down so it don't work like that, you know.
Listen, I had an ex whose mother told me that the best way for you to live is to let your man think he's in control while you pull the strings. So that I apply that to my children as well. One more panelist, and then we're going to get to our featured guest. Hi, Brother Larry. How are you?
Good evening. How y'all doing, everybody?
Yes, right, let me get your opinion on tonight's
Larry.
Question.
How you doing, Ms. Bonnet? How you doing?
We have some background interference.
Yes.
I don't know where it's coming from, but could you clear it up, please?
Okay, it might be my TV. I'm going to turn it down some. I don't know if it's my TV or not, but I will turn it down. Is it okay now?
That's it.
It must not be you, Larry.
I still hear it. All right, now it's done. Now you could tell me what you think about tonight's question. Do you think that children 17 and under are entitled to high security privacy, which means even the parents can't get into their accounts and things like that?
As long as you live in my house, there is no, you don't have that unlimited, tight security in any room. I'll let you flex your muscles, your eyebrows, and all that. But you know, in my house, you don't have no limited security. As long as you're in my house, this is my house. I have to protect, not yours. If you got some drugs or guns in here, and the cops come raid my house, then I might go to jail too with you.
Yeah.
If you don't claim it, then it's mine.
That's absolutely true. And you know what? I kind of agree with you, Mark, and Rod to a point. But I'm going to let our guests get in now, okay? So if there's any noise, I'm going to be muting mics to see where it's coming from, just to let you know, because we have to limit the interference for them. All right, Lou, you got the floor, honey. Let's start off with what you think about tonight's topic and what your answer is.
Well, Katie, as I mentioned in it earlier when you posed the pre-show question, I can speak from experience, and I'm the father of three young adults, two in college and one 26 out on his own, doing his own thing. And I have to say, I said on Facebook, I said 15, and quite frankly, I come from, you know, cell phones and computers and stuff didn't come about and become so much of a in-house all the time thing until my kids was probably around early teens or so, but it's about how you raise your kids, and I'm the type of father. Every last one of my kids, I was in the hospital when they came into the world, and I've been an integral day in, day out, hands-on type of father with all my kids. And they think about it. We laugh about it now, but my kids, I'm talking about from the time they was in school, elementary school, taking them to school, they got tired of it. I constantly was schooling my kids and talking to my kids and teaching and guiding and talking about things possible this, if this comes up. I taught my kids about what to do if they somewhere at a social event, school, basketball game, or what have you, and they see people fighting. I taught them that, you know, your quick instinct is to always run over. Oh, they fight. I told my kids to go the other way, because wherever there's a fight, there's always a potential.
Right.
For gunshots to come out. I said, if you ever hear gunshots out, the first extent is to run. I said, no, you hit the ground. You find out where.
Yeah.
I taught my kids all that, and they used to look at me like, Daddy, why is you telling us all this? Now they know, now that they're young adults, but I've been telling my kids this. So to get to your point, I personally, and my kids turned out fine. No, are they angels? By no means, but my kids turned out pretty decent young kids in the fact that, and I gave them practice. Yes, you're not going to have a boyfriend and all laid up in the room with the door closed and all that old stuff. In fact, my daughter wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend until my daughter didn't get her first, because she was way up in high school, maybe out of high school. I don't know. I think they hid one from me during high school. But anyhow, he didn't ever come over the house, so I didn't know about him. But I think her mama knew. But my point is, if you teach your kids, bottom line, if you teach your kids, guide your kids, school your kids, basically, so you can give your kids some latitude. I didn't ever have to. My kids all got cell phones when they got about probably 15, 16, whatever. I didn't have to have the passcode to their cell phone voicemail. I thought that would be an invasion of privacy or something, as far as, I mean, and that's just me personally. Again, I don't knock no one who chooses to. And their emails, again, because I felt comfortable in that I had taught my kids enough. I said, no, my daughter.
I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know where it's coming from. So if anybody knows if there's anything going on, please. I'm going to tell you this. I agree with one thing that was said around the panel with regards to the 17-year-olds. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that when they're 17, you need to be, you know, going doing the James Bond, secret spy glasses that really look like glasses, but you could see through everything they're writing. No. But I do believe this. Until they are legally absolved of being accountable to me, or I'm accountable for anything they do, they don't have privacy. Now, 17-year-olds in my house will have privacy where I won't need to go in and check on them like that. But if there was ever a suspicion, if there was ever a type of, you know, whisper of feeling, they need to, I need to be able to say that if I need to ask, there's no problem with it. There's no problem with me getting in. I won't need to be checking them because they're older now. They are legally in my house allowed to have girlfriends and boyfriends by then and everything. They more than likely will have a job by then. So, yeah, certain things you do have to start, you know, letting the rope, you know, go a little more because they're about to transition over.
Excuse me, but you know what, Katie? Just to let you know, kids today are extremely smart. So let me just say this to anyone who very well may have the passcode to their kid's cell phone, let's say, for example, where they could listen. Do you think the kids are allowing messages to be left on that phone? Come on, really. You know what I mean? Come on.
But
kids,
see, I just talked about that. Understand, Lou, we come from a generation, especially us in particular, those of us that had the hard side of life to deal with or to fight through the street smarts and all that stuff. A lot of parents back in our day came from being smart because we had to use our brains. But then now, add those people from that era that went through the bad, unideal things in life, that had to fight their way through stuff and see and be a little extra observant with certain things. Let me tell you something. I put it like this. I don't put anything past any kid, including my own. I don't put mine are smart. Mine are smart, and they got my technological savvy because I taught them how to be thinking past what they're seeing and everything. So don't think for 1 minute I don't think they're going to try to use the teacher's teachings against the teacher. So when they try to pick up a one fake page in Facebook, if that should be happening, I got that too. When they try to erase something, when they think I'm going to do my drive-by, I've already screenshot everything I found.
Mm-hmm.
I pop up at their schools before they expect it. I'm not saying you're going to have to use the password for your 17-year-old. I'm saying that until they're 18 and if they should get into a fender bender or a fight or a drug bust or whatever, and the cops don't bring them to your door asking, do you know who this is and why the hell didn't you know where they were? They don't have any privacy in my house.
Well, I agree from a private standpoint. Again, when all my kids, I search rooms, all that. Don't get me wrong now, y'all. Don't get me wrong. I searched rooms. It was days I couldn't wait for them to go to school. You know, so I'd get in there and do my little, and quite frankly, I would leave evidence to let them know that I was searching the room and whatever, because it was my house and I had my right. And one time I subbed up, hey, why are you all in my whatever, this and that? I said, dude, when that's how you pay the bill. When you start doing that, you know, whatever, then you can holler about my room or whatever, dude. You a border. You know what I mean? You know, that type of thing, you know. But, yeah, I searched and looked and went through and peeped. That's because it's my house. And, again, if something goes down, I want to know, you know, what's going on in my house. That's just common sense, basically, and stuff. But, as I said, I never had the issue of having to get, you know, had a cell phone voicemails and things of that nature and stuff. And I talked to my daughter about boys being the fact that I was once one managed young boy. And, believe me, I gave it to my daughter raw and uncut. And fortunately, my daughter
me
just
too.
Turned 21, and I just found out that she was 20 a year ago when she finally gave her little Virginia up at 20. And I was kind of feeling like, okay, well, I knew it was bound to happen. But, of course, with the age that the kids are starting these days, I was like, okay, well, I did something right. You know what I mean? Because 20 was like, 20 was like, wow, you know what I mean? And
so
and
he
again,
was grown, and she no longer needed your consent. So here we go.
That's why, because, again, I gave it to her raw and uncut and told her exactly what young boys want. She's in college now, and I tell her the same thing. I said, kids in college, Sherelle, they do not want no relationship. Rarely do they want to bed as many girls as they possibly can. Do not be a victim. I got to talk all about not drinking nothing, nobody bringing her, you know, saying poor, all of that stuff. I'm constantly schooling my kids all the time, so I've been blessed thus far.
Listen, you never stop being a parent even when they're grown. You never do. My mother still tells me, you didn't turn the rice right. You got to turn the rice right now. So I still hear that. I didn't turn my rice over, you know, when I'm cooking. She's like, you didn't know. You gotta put the pot on top of the stove. You don't do it like that. I'm like, Ma, I'm like, I'm 44. You taught me years ago. But they never stop being parents. And you know what? When you get older, you kind of don't want them to. My house, they don't have privacy. Now, how I need to invade that privacy, which I will say that, hell yeah, I'm invading privacy all the way to their 16 and a half point ass. That's the way I feel. The way I feel is, as long as a policeman can ask me, why didn't I know where you were? As long as I'm accountable for not knowing that you were on the computer setting up a drug scheme or getting involved with bad people, as long as I'm on the hook for that and it could be brought back to my house, you have no privacy. As long as you are not paying bills, you are not filing taxes for your self-independence, you are not out there, you know, paying rent to some landlord, you are in my house, period. And for a 17-year-old, I may not need their password, but they will definitely open up and unlock all accounts at will when they least expect it.
Caden, let me just say this. My oldest son, who is now 26, he was living with me for a short time at about 22, 23 years old, and he still didn't have very much privacy because he was in my house, keep in mind. One time he went through the little, I went snooping and so on and so forth, and found his little pistol, too, as a matter of fact, and nice little pistol, too. I still got it to this day.
Thank you very much, sir.
You know,
so nice.
And he, you know, because, again, it was my house. Now he's since had his own place and so on and so forth, and I went to visit him, and I sit out like a guest. You know what I mean? And I don't, you know, it's his place. You know, I sit out like a guest in his place and mind my own business. But in my house, that's my right to snoop, you know, and he understood. I checked that gun in and I told him, because, dude, you ain't going to have no gun up in my house and whatever, and I don't know, and whatever and stuff. And sure, dude, still got that gun to this day. A nice gun, too.
Very nice. Okay, well, Lou, you are the man of the hour, sir, so we are going to get into talking about you. All right? The reason why I picked you for today with this topic is because, of course, you know, all of my Flintstones will say, you know, they all have told me about the crazy adventures of Flint, Michigan. You definitely were raised there, and you've come from there. Well, I think you just recently moved from there, am I right?
I did.
Okay. So you just got out of it, in a sense. And one of the things that we, especially the way we hooked up, was we got into some deep discussions. I think it was about Obama at the time. And we both, you know, we think way past the roots. You know, we go deep down, and then we start talking what I call the blossom, you know, the blossom vine. We start speaking, and we don't stop. So you came up with a blog. Let me ask, what made you think to do that first?
Well, quite frankly, Katie, I've always been interested in trying to have an impact and reach the masses the best way I can. I once always used to want to have a radio show or be, I used to want to be a writer. I've always kind of been an avid reader. And quite frankly, in this day and age, I wanted to utilize the opportunity to utilize social networking and so on to basically reach the masses and have an impact. Similar to Sam, you got a radio. I'm doing it via a blog. But the bottom line is just to have a positive, you know, inspiring impact on people. You know, it's not nonsense. I invite anyone who hasn't had an opportunity to check it out. You know, it's Lou from Flint, 810.com, you know, on WordPress. That's Lou, no spaces, L-E-W, not L-O-U. And this opportunity just to reach the masses and just try to inspire people and motivate people to just be the best they can be, you know.
I just like that. I don't know where that's coming from, so I'm going to try again. I thank you for that because, you know something, one of the things I also, when I heard, I said, well, he finally has a platform where he could just talk and nobody could tell him there's rules to follow or things to say, or no, we don't say that on the air, or we don't do this. And,
sure.
You know, you can say what you say, please. Anybody who knows me knows, listen, I'm as classy as they come, but I'm also as straight talk as they come, and I can hold on with the best of them. I don't have to sit there and have a, you know, a joint in my hand and, you know, and spikes and spiked bracelets to be tough. I'm just tough, and I say what I have to say straight up. But I don't believe in people telling me, no, don't say that. No, don't do
and
that. No, shh. So,
that was important to me. That was important to me to be able to be me. You know, I don't want to be something where I'm censored and I have to. I come. Quite frankly, it is my view, but it's also my view and my, you might say, opinion on certain things. Some of the topics I pick. However, I do my research and make sure that I'm factual on some of the things. You know that I. You know, that I talk about. You know, for example, I did a one on the prison system. You know how it's basically a. There's a pay to, you know, where a lot of states pay private prison industrial people to come in and build prisons, and the state has to pretty much almost guarantee a certain amount of beds be filled. And, okay, if the crime goes down in that particular state, what are they going to do? They're going to start, you know, basically wrongful convictions, and they're going to keep people who may be eligible for parole a longer amount of time, you know, in order to keep those beds filled. You know, it's a business. You know, I hit out about that and so on and so forth. So, again, it's current events,
sports, relationships, et cetera. So, again, I'm pretty proud of it.
Well, you did remember what I replied to you on that one, where I said it seems like they're proving once again what life is really worth. So they'd rather let all the budget cuts for housing and food go down the drain while they continue to put money into a prison, which shows that they pretty much already expect us to wind up there. That's a given. So they're going to make sure that all that is prepared for them.
Unfortunately, Katie, it's a fact that it's expected that studies show that 1 in 3 black men will go to prison in their lifetime. You know, blacks make up 30% of the United States. However, we represent 60% of those incarcerated. And many times for the same crimes as whites. So that's something that I'm pretty adamant about, which is one of the things that the just blatantly in unequal justice system that we live in America. That really galls me. That really, really, really galls me. You know, that I can get caught with a certain amount of drugs, let's just say, for example, and get 10, 15 years in prison, and a white person, same age, male, and everything, can get caught with the exact same equal amount of drugs and get less prison time, if prison at all. You know, there's something wrong with that picture. Absolutely, yeah. and it's so great, and it's happening all over this country. So those are the type of things that I talk about, you know.
Well, I also brought you in on tonight's topic because I know that you were telling me when we spoke about, I believe we were speaking on the twerking segment, and you were talking about how, you know, had you not had that active adult involvement and interference in your life, you could have gone someplace different. You could have been one of those children that are not supervised with a cell phone at 11.
Right. Well,
iPhone at 11.
That's interesting you brought that up, Katie. That's interesting you brought that up because although I grew up, my father wasn't involved in my life. I didn't get to know my father until I got out in the streets and started street hustling and doing the same type of things that he was doing, which is the reason why he couldn't be there for me. However, I'm living proof that it doesn't always have to be dad. I was fortunate enough to have several uncles, many of my mom's younger brothers that lived with us at various times, men in the neighborhood, older guys in the neighborhood, which is something that we talked about before that is missing a lot of today. Not enough young men take time out to mentor other young kids. We had older guys in the neighborhood that would organize football teams and basketball teams, and we would go around to different parts of the city and play other neighborhoods. We had men in our lives. It doesn't necessarily always have to be father. It'd be good if it is father in the home and so on, but you can still not be. And so I chose to get out in the streets and do some certain things and get involved in street hustling and everything simply on my own. It had nothing to do with my upbringing. My mom did not spare the rod. She sneaked, she looked in the house, she peeked and searched rooms, it's all that. So believe me, she did that. I elected to get out in the street, you know, and do some things and stuff. You know, it's a life lesson, you know, you live and you learn.
So, what do you think? I don't believe no child under the age of 16 or 15 should have no data phone. I don't think any smartphone should be in the hands of a 10-year-old. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
And you know what, Katie? That is unfortunately today, which we have too much of, where we have too many parents who, in order to try to be friends and be and keep up with the Joneses and stuff, and they got their kids with all these expensive smartphones and gym shoes and so on and so forth, and the kids making D's and E's in school. You know what I mean? And they buying them expensive cell phones. What do a 9, 10, 11-year-old kid need with a $300 iPhone and so on and so forth? When my kids had phones, my kids' first phone was all minute phones. And doggy, you better save a minute. You know what I mean? And this phone is for me to call you, or you to be able to call and say, "Daddy, I'm ready," or "Mama, I'm ready. Come pick me up," or so I can call you like, "Where you at?" You know, that type of thing. What I look like buying them a young kid a old smartphone, and you know that. So again,
child nowadays, I can understand that there's a need for phones. Okay,
mm-hmm.
there's a need for phones, not for smartphones. What the hell does a 10-year-old kid need to access email for on the street? No reason. Now, here's the deal. If you are forced down and your child doesn't have adequate supervision between a certain time until you get there to pick them up, yes, a phone, one that can text and take a call or make a call. Why do they need to have 51 megs of data? Why do they need to have 3G speed? Why don't you just let them get one of them phones with Brick Breaker installed in there?
Again, priorities. Again, our people, I'm going to be talking about all of that, Katie, as well, too. A lot of that, our priorities and our trying to keep up with the Joneses and you know, again, it's similar to like how so many of us, we're talking about kids right now, but how so many, too many of our people go out and buy, you know, go out and spend $50,000 on a car and don't even have a garage to park it in. You know what I mean?
Oh, thankfully for it. I hear you.
Can I interject? Can I speak?
I'm sorry, I'm dealing with a little bit of a
situation.
Who was that?
Larry.
Go ahead, Larry, go ahead. What were you saying?
In 2002, I was one evening watching. One morning, I was getting dressed, and I was watching, listening to the news. And up in the Bronx, there were some mothers who had taken the cause of the, you know, the killing in our community by us. There was mothers who had confiscated their children's play guns. And
right.
What blew my mind that there was some white men up there who was angry at the mothers for taking the toy guns out of their children's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the move of these mothers, but these white men realize that by them doing this, they're actually taking the real guns out of their hands later on. Number two, there was a white guy named Curtis, I think his name was, and he used to take the blacks and Puerto Ricans out the community to patrol the trains. And while he was taking the blacks and Puerto Ricans out of the community to patrol the trains, his brother was bringing a large amount of crack cocaine and guns into the community. And not once, and when that crack cocaine, the guns escalated in our community, he never used them same brothers to come back and clean up their community they left behind. And I throw that out there because, see, like, we are in this country and we are constantly being manipulated, you know, by a force. They moved us into the ghetto. The ghetto didn't come with me. The ghetto was here when I got here. And it's a hard thing trying to rise above that or come out of that. It is very hard because they can make the situation even harder and worse. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to our children, even, you know, we talk to, I don't care how much you talk to their children, once they leave outside their door, the pressure is on them. And
right,
I feel for my children.
Now,
it's like the other day, a young boy, 16 years of age, shot somebody down to your skating ring, I think it was. And the young brother can't walk because he's paralyzed. 16 years of age with a gun. I want you to think about that. You know, 16, 15, 14, 13, so with a gun. I mean, they made it easy for you and I, our children, to get access to a gun. Quicker they get access to a junior high school diploma.
Absolutely.
Well,
In my hometown of Flint, Michigan, you can go to pretty much any ARAB, I hate to say not to whatever, but it is ARAB store corner in any of the town. And if you know him well enough, particularly if you're from that neighborhood and you go in there a lot, they wouldn't just anybody walk in like buying a beer. But if you from that neighborhood and you know them well enough and they know you and so on and so forth, many of them, you can go in there and buy a gun.
And when that happened, I used to wonder, they don't make glasses in their country. How they learn about crack vials? They don't have laboratories in their country for making crack. How they get this crack in their stores? You understand what I'm saying?
Now you see the point you just made. The point you two just made brings us right back to the question of should children 17 and under have privacy? Because honestly, are the 11-year-olds and the 10-year-olds going to be the first ones to think about doing those two things?
When I was living in Jamaica, my mother lived there, as a matter of fact, on the south side. I was going to the supermarket for her one day, and there was a young boy standing in the corner of a building. He couldn't have been no more between 9 and 11, and he wanted to know that I wanted to buy some crack. And when I said to him, "What is you doing?" homeboy came out and said, "Man, you better get away before I'll shoot you up with my M40, whatever he had. Around the corner from where I live at, a girl, 12 years of age, got busted 2 years ago selling drugs in front of her house. So, you know, we are in a trick bag, you know. If I can't get a job, if my brains are stupid, I'm going to give you some drugs to sell.
Think about how she got those connections and think about how that little boy got a connection. Daddy had a password on, whose parents turned around and said, "You know what? Nowadays these kids are smart." Lou, I'm going to ask you that. I wanted to pose this question to you. Do you think that, let's take away what everybody says about there's a lot more younger and single parents nowadays. Let's take that factor off. Do you think that, I mean, just people nowadays tend to be more trusting of their children because of the fact that they know computers more nowadays?
I don't think so. Well, me personally, I think the computer, with all the stuff out and available on the computer and porn and whatnot, it would make me less trusting of my kids in this day and age. For example, my kids.
That's right. I agree with you because you can take a picture of yourself and put it out there and go all around the world with it.
Okay, who was that? Was that Mark?
Sorry.
I'm asking you, do you think that people, do you think that parents, people, adults nowadays tend to believe that the children nowadays are more mature because they're more tech savvy? Do you think that people are associating those two ideas together?
Some are. Some are see them more advanced than those of us growing up. But it's only because of the computer age.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that's where people start to get comfortable to a danger point. These kids are just tech savvy, but they're still 13, and they're still 16, and they're still 12. They still have the same hormonal problems, the same confusion in their head, the same peer pressure, only now they got it with something they can get access to quicker by using an app.
Yeah, now they can text their weed dealer, like Amazon.
Right. Now they can go to Backpage.com for sex, to be sold or to get sex. Now they've got all these pop-up ads that come up as triple X pop-up windows. Oh, find the F finder tonight. You know, your adult friend finder. Do you understand? Well, now they have all of those things. It doesn't make them any more mature. It just makes them now more dangerous, in my opinion.
Exposed.
Yeah. They have this show that comes on called Dateline. You ever watch that?
Yeah.
Well, what?
This is dealing with Dateline, and these are men 35 and 40 seeking out little girls 12, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
And I watch it quite often because, you know, I want my daughter to see what's out there. And the girl talks to him. She goes upstairs, so the guy that runs the show comes down. He sits them down. You know, he questions them, and they lie. So the homeboy shows them the printout. All of a sudden, you know, he wanted to tell the story.
Yeah, that's,
I get arrested at the end. But
that
computer is dangerous to young minds.
But I want to say this.
I will say it can be.
Anybody who thinks that their child, that they can, in the day of the information age and cyberspace and all that, to think that you can be even more trusting of your child, and quite frankly, and they need to take some parenting classes. So quite frankly, it's just that the internet and so on and so forth just is so exposed in a 24-hour cable. We discussed that before. You would have to be more. I mean, as far as the computer being, my kids had computers in their rooms and stuff. Quite frankly, I got to admit, I wasn't up on computers and stuff, quite frankly, but my ex-wife was.
and stuff. And for example, my kids are on Facebook way back, and I don't know when, but their mom had their passcodes and different things, and one of my sons would get on there and be cursing and stuff like that and stuff. And she would tell him, you know, and tell him, don't stop all that old, you know, cussing and talking crazy or something, or I'm going to make you whatever. But it was pretty much, what could she do? Because they had computers. So even if she would have, like, deactivated their account, they smart enough to just create another one, you know. So it's like you just can try to monitor it, you know what I mean? Or take away their computers and what have you, you know what I mean? It's not a cat and mouse thing, but someone mentioned something earlier, Larry, I believe it was, about, and I want to touch on, about the united front between parents. Because, again, kids will try, I'm living proof, well, kids will try to play mom and dad against one another, and that is very important that you represent a united front. For example, come to dad. I was always usually the second one because they felt like I was going to always say no. So they go to mama first. We had a united front where she'd be like, if she say, I don't care if it's okay with your dad, or if she say no, they come to me. I knew I was like, well, you know, well, no, you can't, because they would expect you to come and ask one. And then they go to the other and try to play us again. So we were pretty good at that, you know what I mean, as far as presenting a united front. And they know it, and they know they can't really play no games and stuff. And they'll pretty much stop trying once they know that mom and dad is you know, is united.
Well, what
right,
you
gentlemen,
said, brother, what
I do have to actually give you this,
you.
Just close it out, the segment, because we have a new segment that was supposed to start at the beginning. It's going to be starting at the end. But I will say, Lou, tell us about, you know, like, give us your link, your blog. And I actually have read two or three of your entries so far, and I love them both. So I've already been pushing it around, but you let them know what you talk about, and then, you know, your link. So
Again, I appreciate you. First of all, I want to say I appreciate you, Katie, giving me the opportunity and whatever. Like I say, those of us on the panel pretty much, I guess you guys pretty much already know, we travel in the same circles on Facebook. But for your listeners, I just want to say my content is pretty much, you know, relationship, current events, sports and entertainment, and so on and so forth, and it's all pretty much a positive spin for the most part, whatever. But again, you can reach my blog on Google at Lou from Flint. That's LEW, Lou from Flint 810.com, and that's LEW, no spaces, Lou from Flint 810.com. And also, you can like me on Facebook at Lou from Flint 810. That's Lou from Flint 810. And also, I'll be debuting my YouTube channel again, Lou from Flint 810. In fact, I'm in the process of editing a show right now that I'll be debuting probably like Tuesday of next week. So look for that. And again, I appreciate it.
Well, I thank you very much for being on here today, for sure. I thank you for being on today's show. I'm sorry, my mic.
Okay, hello?
Andy, cold at night.
Katie, are you there?
I'm sorry, my mic put a little cut off here. Well, we are, I want to thank you, Lou, for, you know, being on the show and helping us, because I'm actually graced by it, by your presence, so I appreciate that. I actually love it. I'm glad of what you're doing, and I want you to continue doing it, because here we are, the On the Edge show. You're like the On the Edge blog, so when you get out there, you got your razor cut sharp stuff, and you can see what you got to say the way it needs to be said. So I wish you much blessings with that and much success, okay?
All right, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
All right, thank you. You're very welcome. And anyway, we'll keep in touch. You keep up telling me what you're doing, and as you update, I'll update here too, okay?
All right. And good evening, everyone.
Say likewise.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a sponsor break. When we return, the next voice you're going to hear is going to be that of Lady Diamond. We are in week two of our Writers Showcase. She's going to be introducing some new writers' poetry and some writers' work. And anybody that's out there who is interested in who is interested in submitting any of their work to be heard here. You submit it to us at the team at teamontheedgeshow@gmail.com. And for those of you that are in school, have your teacher allow you to fill out a form and send, let them pick what they feel is the best in your class. Send it to us and we'll showcase you right here on the air. So now a word from our sponsor, and when we get back, it will be the voice of Lady Diamond, Elaine Yemez. Hang out with us, everybody.
The On The Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lady Diamond. I hope everybody is well. And welcome to our poetry segment. Now, before I go into anything, I would like to read an inspirational quote, which is what has inspired me today. I have spread my dreams beneath your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams. That was by WBE. And before I go any further, I have a few websites that I would like to announce and that I use constantly. There is a poetry page called poetry.com in which you can recite all your poems in it. You can type all your poetry in it. You can also join a poetry contest online. There is newpoetry.com in which you could write your poetry in it, and there's also scholarships as well in which they will recommend you into. You can also get paid for poetry online. So everybody should take the opportunity and try it out. If you're in high school, 10th or 11th grade, you should try to look for scholarship programs. If you are a short writer or even just a poet, Or even just a storyteller, you are able to write stories. You should be able to look out some type of scholarship for yourself in which you could actually get money for it so you could continue going to school for anything you want. I use Tumblr as my blog. So if you would like to look for me, I'm on the Lady Diamond 80 at tumblr.com. So, I mean, you could look for me there. Also, I have Helium. Now, Helium I've had for a very, very long time. I had it for 5 years. That's another great site in which you could actually post short stories there, and also you could do like a short blog. Now, these things that I'm putting in are not like, you know, your family only sees it or your friends. It's everybody. Basically, everybody and whoever with the internet can see what you have. What about the background?
Okay, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I wanted to know that last week you read a piece, and I was asking
which one that is.
Yeah, you read a piece and you said it was one of yours, and I wanted to know where you were motivated from reading that, because it was an actual deep piece. You started to explain that there were some technical issues last week, and it was supposed to be something you followed up with today, so I want you to get into that.
That was My Wings, am I correct?
Yes.
It was My Wings. Well, I can repeat that one if you like.
Yes, I would.
Okay, great. Now I got to look for it because I have my other piece up. I was going to recite myself. Let me see if I can find it now. I had another one that I wanted to recite, and I was going to have a quote towards the end, but that's the end of the segment, you know? So let me see if I can repeat this one again. Oh. Okay, yeah, my wings. Okay, walking in this world, I feel my wings run, and in search for not only hope, but love as I yearn for. I ruffle my feathers, cooling it down, from the immortal heat that I sense. My wings stretch outwards towards the heavens, but hide as heathens near. I fear too much, my heart cries in desperate plea that no one will ever see. My wings start to burn until flames of night. The amount of shame that enters my soul is a poor punishment which taints my core. Now I walk in darkness, my wings are gone. I try fitting for my heart to heal, knowing that my fate has been sealed. My wings will grow back, not now but soon, when my heart is blessed with love again. Heaven will open and heal me, making my wings stronger than before. Now, the main reason why I wrote this poem is because during that time, there was a lot of things that was happening while within my life and for what I was seeing. And like I said before, everybody is put on this world for a reason, you know. And most do are guardian angels in human form. Nobody knows about those guardian angels. And like I said, you know, it's like I have a heart for children. As we all know, you know, I am a children's advocate. You know, I do, you know, I coach girls softball. You know, I'm really, you know, I also keep religion with children. And every time I hear a child getting hurt, it hurts me. It kills me. It really kills me. I feel like, you know, it feels like a stabbing sensation in my heart. It feels like I'm dying with them. That's how I feel. You know, so that's the main reason why I wrote that. It's like I felt that my wings have burned off to the point that I'm just human form and I have lost hope in helping these children out. You know, children, until I'm able to grow these wings back again, by then I'll be already in heaven, try help, you know, and it'll be too late. That's how I feel.
Okay, so let's hear your wings and let's hear the other piece.
All right. All right, my other one is called Wanted.
All right.
Hey, hello, Deacon, how are you? Where are you? All right, Wanted.
All hands on deck, remember?
Oh, yeah, of course. This is great for me.
Wanted.
It is an exception when the feeling of being wanted is shown by others, but it's a disappointment when two feelings get in the way, leaving you in the dark. The wanted thought of being alone interrupts your dreams and you come out of them. Wanting to walk into someone's arms, feel their heart beat against their face. Wanting to walk away from them where they feel the same loneliness, where they set them apart. The fear of that moment when you kiss them would it be your last. Slowly walking away, feeling their eyes on your back. Do you run back to them or wait? For them to run to you, they say let them go and be free. They will come back. If not, then it's not true. It's so hard to let go, but so easy to still want it in their arms and heart again.
Okay, that was beautiful. Now your other one.
That's a quote, but I'm going to leave that quote to the end.
Oh, go get to it. Let's go.
You want me to get that quote out there already?
I was all caught up. I was like, wow, the moment.
Nah,
that
yeah,
was
I have
deep.
A lot of personal quotes.
Yeah,
know?
We want it all. Come on.
You want it all?
I know. Thank you, Raj.
All right.
Move it.
Don't go.
Let's see. Wait. Take this out. All right. Let's see who gets this one, okay? I mean, she's a good inspiration for me. Every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world. Now, guess who said that quote? Take a wild guess. It was a woman. And we have to go way back. Way back.
Is somebody black?
Huh? Yeah. This
no,
person has inspired me a lot, huh?
Let's see.
Okay.
Sutia.
Let me know when you're, you know, yeah, if it is a black woman, and I mean, she's no longer around. And she's no longer around. She has been around for years. Oh, wow, that's a lot of noise.
Yeah, we're back to head.
All right. Give up?
Yep.
Harriet Tubman.
Oh.
Okay, now you.
That's not fair.
Yep. That was like, that's one of my favorite. That's one of my inspirational quotes. I love this quote.
Mm-hmm.
I love this quote a lot. That's how I follow my dreams. That's how everybody else should follow their dreams.
Well, I want to ask you one thing before you continue. You were just speaking about your passion with youth, and that was one of the things that you and I both had shared at one point.
Yes.
Because that's where we hooked up. And one of the things that I noticed, especially when we were speaking last week, was over the segment history here, you have been highly and actively involved and very passionate about dealings with youth, which is what the show, you know, the main foundation is for.
Right.
Now, the softball, because I remember we asked you last week and all the technical difficulties we were having affected. But let me
add,
hello?
Yes, we're here with you.
Okay.
One of the
okay.
things I wanted to ask you, Lady Diamond, was when you were writing the pieces, you were talking at the same time about a lot of the conflicts in the girls' softball team that you had noticed. Did any of that motivate you to write the piece that you were reading last week?
Oh, yeah. A lot of that motivated me to write that poem last week. I mean, that poem is like, this was last year, so I wrote it in February. So, I mean, and then during that time was the trial stages. So, you know, I mean, most of the poems that I wrote is basically from what I've seen, but it was the gym today, oh, forget about it. I mean, they need a lot of help. And most of them, they don't realize that, you know, if they could just get themselves out of any situation, any problems, by writing, there's only because they hold in all the anger, all their doubt, all their, you know, fears in them. If they could just write it out, they could probably be a better place.
Well,
there's
a
lot of
wind. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, that's all.
All right. We do have like 11 minutes left, so I wanted to bring up the other thing. Last week when we introduced this segment, and like I said, listeners, you have been an absolute wonderful mass of people that's been involved. So what I would like is for you and I both to go back and explain why the Writer Showcase has been so important. Now, on my end, before I came to you and we formatted this, we spoke with a lot of children that one of the biggest issues in our youth today, what they face is they're dealing with a whole lot more new scale of problems, new intensity levels, with no arts in schools anymore, with no youth programs in the communities anymore. And so I think one of the last few arts that are left, because pretty much children can do this anywhere, is express themselves with writing. And a lot of people that can write really use that channel to be determined not to get caught up with being the next jail statistic or death statistic or prostitute statistic or, you know, one of those twerking videos or whatever. So we're trying to make sure that they understand that this is going to be another channel of positivity for them. Now, from your end, what was it?
No, I'm just agreeing with you right now, definitely. I mean, like you said, I mean, for some reason, most of the kids, they go for motivation in a very, very different way, especially with twerking. I don't know how that motivates them. It motivates that body part, but that's it. And it's true. They don't realize that. That doesn't inspire anybody. It doesn't inspire anybody. I don't know how it could inspire anybody to be shaking their booty and thinking that, you know, they're going to get somewhere doing that. Yeah, the dance. I remember when dance came out, watching ballet, watching people, you know, dance tap, you know, flamenco. That's an art. That's poetry right there, you know. And
right.
Most of these kids, when they dance and they learn this art, you know, they're telling a story. And most of these dances are stories. They hear the music. I mean, I can't say the music now because my point of view, the music today is not that great. You know, I mean, if they go to, like, I can say, like, the 70s, 60s, if they actually listen to that type of music, and each of those songs tell a story. And if they actually dance to it and they actually feel it, they actually bring that story to life. Today, I don't know. I can't even say what it is right now. Most of them listen to, what's the name of this guy? I forgot his name. But I can only say he's the most depressing person I ever heard sing, ever. I forgot his name. And I hear his songs, and I just want to just break the CD or the radio every time I hear him. Oh, Drake.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I find him depressing.
He's famous.
You know what he says is like about a little bit more poetry. I do like that. But it's like, you know, it really hits you hard that most of these people, they go back to their exes and just thinking about them. And it's hysterical just hearing this, you know. And if I could just compare him to someone else, I could just say that they are, you know, they're a lot more motivation. They have a lot more motivation than he does. He doesn't motivate me at all. He doesn't. You know, and
right.
I could go to, I'm sorry, I really don't like this woman. I mentioned her before. Maybe there's a reason why I forgot her name. That I really don't like. My daughter probably remembers her, but she sings some of her songs, and I'm not too fond of it. But then a woman like,
I don't know,
do you remember who it is? I mentioned it before.
No.
Oh, thank you, Athena. Nicki Minaj.
I just said that. Well, it's not Nicki Minaj.
I didn't hear your mama. Thank you, Katie. Nicki Minaj.
Wow.
I'm not a big fan of her. I'm sorry. I'm not a big fan of her. It's like, she doesn't motivate me at all. She doesn't motivate me at all. I haven't heard anybody that can motivate me no less than her.
You know, I think what upsets me most is that she is a person that writes her own raps and her own lyrics. And the thing is that a lot of these kids have the ability to write, and then what comes out is everybody thinks, I gotta go the hip hop route. I gotta be the you know, the nasty, mean, you know, violent enhancer, or, you know, speak about sex or speak about things. But instead of taking these topics and using their talent to put it out on a serious note, on a teaching note, or just an expressive note where it's not just about, you know, how many ways can I get a guy to watch my twerk and do this and do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get out there and take your literary senses and put it on paper and do something with it. I mean, okay, so
right.
After you have taken these lyrics and you have sparked some controversial, you know, oh, she said that on the air, or he said that out loud, or whatever, why not take it and say, listen, there are girls my age that's feeling what I'm feeling. Let me see that this is the way it could go, and this is what you should do. Take that and concentrate, as dedicated as you are, to going out there and finding a way to match up with what sells nowadays. Why don't you be a trendsetter and sell something different? Rod, what is your take on that?
Well, it's like a lot of the younger people are famous and could send a positive message, and more and more folks are looking toward the twerking, though.
Yeah.
They probably should look another direction.
Okay.
You know, one of the other singers, like Common or somebody, you know, they always have a positive message.
Right.
And
yes,
they can do it without all of that heavy-duty cussing, and I don't need, like, 10 women in front of me twerking in order to keep your attention.
Yes, that is a definite thing. You know, there was a group last night when I worked, all of you who know me know I
have a job at Madison Square Garden, and there was a group last night that my daughter introduced me to a few years ago, and it was Paramore. And this is a very young group. I think that she's 20-something right now. She's about 5'1", and she's absolutely full of spunk. But if you listen to the lyrics and get past the rock music, and you can hear the lyrics, this group really speaks on pain. They speak on relationships. They speak on friendships. They speak on the one I like the most that's out now is called Ain't It Fun, which I will be playing before we go off, where she speaks on these youth that think that they finally made 18 and I don't have to listen to anybody and I'm going to go out there. And one of the lyrics that she says is, ain't it fun living here on your own when nobody wants to be around you? It used to be that you might have been able to ring a bell and get anybody's attention to do anything that you want. But now what's it like? Now you're out here in the real world where you're not a big fish in the pond anymore. And I love that. And when the children are listening to that, I mean, I heard the girls screaming in the stadium last night, and I'm like, when that song came on, the loudest cheers came in, and these girls were with their parents, and the parents were saying, I don't know who the group is, but that song really gets my child. So it can make or break your listeners, the people that you're listening to. What do you want to do with the power of the pen and paper in your hand?
Right.
So I commend you, Lady Diamond, for wanting to make this showcase something. And I commend you, Ryan, for sticking on the panel and listening. And I commend those that are still listening now. And for those of you who know a child that's out there who can write and is having problems and wants to find a way to be led, this is the place to come to, at least to get their first start. So that's one of the things. Now, we are down to our last 3 minutes. And what I would like to do is to get your final thoughts, Lady Diamond and Rod, before we sign off for the evening.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
you go first.
Okay. Well, I'm just more or less just thinking back to the original question about children's permissions and privacy and such, because I was just going back in time, and I remember having that conversation with a little one just before he turned 16, and like 2 weeks later, he had his birthday party, and so I told my girl, let's go home early, and we're going to surprise him. So 3 o'clock, we're coming back to the house, and I'm sure I told this story to you guys earlier. Before we got to the steps, the door opened, and like 10 big kids came out. Remember, he just turned 16, so 16, 17, 18, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, school was just going on. It's like, how the hell could we come in the middle of a party, and nobody's supposed to be home at that time? You know, kids, school was just beginning to let out, and all those kids came out, so, you know, we called all the parents, got everybody together, and said, I think you're too permissive with your kid. He's having the party in the middle of the day. What the heck kind of parents are you? And I was like, listen, it's like you're here because your kid was here too. And I nearly had a fist fight with that guy because I told him, hey, you're just as messed up as I am. But it wasn't just to point a finger. It's like we were trying to get that community thing going because all our kids were now young men and young women. And it wasn't to say that because of your messed up kid, we're all here. It's just like, you know, we gotta. By only doing this because his friend is doing it. If his friend was doing something else, he'd be doing something else. So once we got everybody on the same page, those kind of parties didn't go on anymore. I should say fewer of them that we knew of.
That's absolutely awesome. Go ahead, Elaine. We've got you down to a minute.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna say this clearly. You know, everybody should be. If you're angry or any type of emotion you have, you should begin to write it on paper. You know, I mean, maybe something simple as that could turn the world differently. Paper and pen is the reason why it's made. It's made for us to write on it, not to only draw or do anything else on it. It's just to write our feelings on it and have everybody see it. Even if you don't want nobody else to see it, and it's on your own, it's on paper, your feelings is on paper. And my last quote is, it's much easier to turn a friendship into love than love into friendship.
Wow, absolutely. And that one is deep. Okay, thank you, panelists, all of you this evening and you guys that remained. I appreciate you. And, Elaine, we will do this again next week.
Oh, yeah,
we're going to be reaching out. We'll be reaching out to the rest of you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going out tonight with Paramore's Ain't It Fun. I'll see you here tomorrow at 8:30. You all have a good night. Until then, be blessed.
I'm going to celebrate my birthday, too.
All right. Happy birthday, baby.
Thank
all right, everybody. Be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.